book of Acts this morning and learning what God has for us. Before we jump into that text, however, let's spend a moment in prayer. Lord God, today, as we remember the breathing universal of your Spirit upon your disciples, your followers, we pray that you would breathe your Spirit upon us in this time, that we would hear your words, that we would respond faithfully, that we would soak up the gift of grace that's found in this text. Lord, we then pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts would be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Growing up as one of three, as a triplet, had its advantages, like sharing a birthday. I remember I was either 9 or 10, somewhere in that range, and we were at the beach having a good old-fashioned bonfire and weenie roast with friends and family celebrating our birthday in late August. And one of my friends came up to me and he said, "Hey, Steve, does sharing a birthday suck?" Like a 9 or 10-year-old would say, right? And the question presupposed that he thought it wasn't a good thing. But I shared with him immediately, because I had thought about this before, and I said, "No, it doesn't suck at all. It's great. In fact, I always get to share and having fun and coming together. Not only are my friends here, but my brothers and my sister's friends are here, and it just makes it all that more a party." And then we get to open presents. And when we open presents, my thought is that my presents are mine and their presents are also mine. Said, "Yeah, that is cool." Today we remember the birth of the church, of the followers, the disciples of Jesus, our Christ, our Messiah. And the gift of Pentecost is that we get to share in the birthday of the church, not only in that place, but also in that time. I mean, imagine for a moment, 2,000 plus years of celebrating followership of Jesus. That's astounding. With all of the churches throughout history, with all of the disciples, the followers of Jesus. And today, this day, we celebrate with believers all over the nations, the whole globe, the world, the Church of Jesus Christ. And we also share and celebrate in the future Church of Jesus Christ until he returns again. And so we say, "Happy birthday, church." And what a blessing it is to celebrate this Pentecost. Jesus' disciples, as we catch up with them on this day of Pentecost, they're in Jerusalem still. Jesus has given them instructions. This is about 50 days past the ascension resurrection of Jesus. 40 days at the ascension. This is not long after the ascension of Jesus, about 10 days. And he has said to the disciples in Acts chapter 1, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised." Well, this gift, of course, is the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And so what were they doing? In Acts chapter 1 in verse 14, they all joined together constantly in prayer along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. So it's not just the 12, but it's the host of followers of Jesus. Most scholars believe they're in the upper room and still worshiping and praying and depending on God. And in fact, this is what church means. Ecclesia is the word that Jesus uses for church. And it means the assembling of God's people. And God's people are already assembled. And then when the right time comes, Jesus sends his Holy Spirit and births a church. This coincided with Passover and what's called the Shavuot, which is the festival of weeks or the festival of first fruits in Judaism. You see, this was a Hebrew festival. It's 7 weeks from Passover, where people would again make their pilgrimage to Jerusalem to celebrate the giving of the Torah, that's the law, to the people of God. But see, now, again, Jesus is going to reinterpret, like he reinterpreted Passover to represent for us the coming of himself in the person and work of his baptism and death and resurrection. And we celebrate that in Holy Communion. Now Jesus is going to take this festival and put new meaning to it. And instead of celebrating the coming of the Torah, the law, we now celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit. And so, Acts 2:1, we find that when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And God gives the Holy Spirit, which then becomes the first fruits of salvation. When you think about it, this was the first gift to the church that allowed them to be church. After the giving of the Holy Spirit, Peter, we know bumbling Peter, he can't really say things right at all, and yet he gets up at Pentecost after the giving of the Spirit, and he gives the most eloquent proclamation of the gospel perhaps ever recorded in the book of Acts. There are gifts that come as we celebrate the birthday of the church. Just like we open gifts and celebrate our birthdays, well, so too, God has given us gifts to celebrate at Pentecost, the birth of the church. There are three of them at least, but three I'd like to highlight. First, God is divinely present at Pentecost. All of them, says the text, were filled with the Holy Spirit. Like a rushing wind, the Spirit comes in. Like tongues of fire, the Spirit rests upon those who proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. They are given the power to speak now words of truth and the gospel, the good news, in languages that people could understand. Clearly, the Spirit has come now to all. Now, people ask over the years and still do, well, wasn't the Spirit alive and active in the Old Testament? And the answer is yes. The Spirit has already existed. The Spirit has pre-existed. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit exists in the Old Testament. But in God's infinite wisdom, he didn't give the Holy Spirit until after the work of Jesus in a universal way. You see the Spirit alighting upon one or another, Moses, David, Isaiah, but not universally as we find in Pentecost. Now, all those in Christ Jesus have the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is, as Cousin Eddie explained to Clark, this is the gift that keeps on giving year around. When he's talking about the jam of the month. God is still present, friends. This is the gift that gives at every moment and every day if we but call on the name of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is alive and active in us. No longer is God far off and aloof. But God is where? Ask any Sunday school child who's been trained appropriately, where is Jesus? And where are they going to say? Well, he's ascended into heaven. No, they're not going to say that. Where is Jesus? Well, he's around somewhere. I just lost him. Where is Jesus? What are they going to say? Jesus is here. Jesus is in my heart. I remember teaching our boys that Jesus is present with us by the power of the Holy Spirit. God is still present today, and that is the gift of Pentecost, a gift given at the birth of the church. Number two, verses 5 through 13, we are reminded that God miraculously speaks my language. It's interesting, because those who are seeing this miracle happen before them, they identify the followers of Jesus appropriately. These are, they say, Galileans. They're from Galilee, up in the northern country. And they have made their pilgrimage with Jesus to Passover about 50 days before. And they're still there at Jesus' encouragement. And so they notice that they begin to speak in tongues of every language. And though I gave Peggy this text on purpose to try to get her to mess up the names, darn it, she did well. But we find that there are Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, Libya, near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, Cretans and Arabs, and yet we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues, though they are Galileans. This is an amazing miracle that God now decides to speak to all people in their own native tongue. This then, for those who are gathered around, is how they hear the gospel, the good news of Christ. And the good news today is God still speaks our language. And I don't mean literally. Yes, we can read the Bible in pretty much any translation throughout the world. We can hear on the internet or on the radio or TV or from our pastors the gospel, the good news in any language. But I mean that God still speaks my language. A language where I can hear him. My wife accuses me rightly of having selective hearing. Why is it, she says, anytime I say something important, you don't hear me? It's a gift, I guess. No, silly. But sometimes I'm stubborn and I don't hear the words of God. But God speaks in a way that we hear him. God speaks in a way that we know it's him. If we're praying and earnestly seeking the Lord, he's going to reveal himself very clearly by the power of the Holy Spirit. And God speaks in a way that I understand what I'm supposed to do with his words. 5.5 years ago, we were visiting RLC. We were staying in the B house on the north side. And we were entertaining a call to ministry. Now, this was very difficult for me and my family. I was 40-something years old, and I hadn't moved away from home yet. Now, it wasn't as bad as you think. I wasn't living in my mom's basement playing video games. But it was close. We were super rooted in Southern California. And so we came up, and we were praying about what God was doing. We had a great ministry already. We had started a church. I want to say it was like giving birth, but Jeanette rejects that idea. She says, it's nothing like giving birth, Steve. Yes, honey. But it's like God was saying, even when things are great, I will move you. And it was about the third night that we were in the B house. We were laying down and praying before we went to sleep, and Jeanette started to cry. I thought, what's going on here? And I turned to her and I said, so what are you thinking? Why are you crying? And she said, because I know God is calling us to be here. I said, and? She said, no, that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. I feel it in my spirit and in my heart and in my soul. See, God was speaking to Jeanette by the power of the Spirit in a way she could hear him, in a way she would know what he's saying, and in a way that we both understood. God does that for us, friends, when we're surrendering and submitting to him. God speaks miraculously a language we understand. Number three. Not only is God divinely present, not only does God continue to speak our language, but God also has brought salvation through the church. And that's one of the gifts we receive at its birthday. Verses 14 through 21, Luke writes, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved as he concludes this recount of Pentecost. The prophecy of Joel is recounted by Luke. This is the prophecy of the end times, the eschaton. That means the last days. And the prophecy went this way. The Holy Spirit is given in the last days. Prophecy, visions, and dreams on a wide scale like never before will be experienced. And wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. These are all evidences that the end days have come. And guess what? We live those this day. God still brings these gifts of salvation. We are blessed to live in the end times. Now, some of us might be thinking of the book of Revelation, and we're going, wait a minute. You know, the book of Revelation doesn't paint a pretty picture of the end times, but it does paint a picture of God's sovereignty and God's final victory over evil. And we get to share in the end times. What a gift that is to us. Through Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit, God continues to bring salvation. How? Through the church. It's the local church still is the vehicle by which God makes his name known and advances his kingdom. And so this Pentecost, we remember. We are reminded, especially as we celebrate our birthday next week. Did you know that's what we're doing? We're celebrating our birthday. We're 70. Woohoo! And as we remember and celebrate next week, our 70th birthday, we must remember Richland Lutheran Church that it's not just our birthday we celebrate. No, it's the birthday of the whole church in Christ Jesus, of which we are a part. And when you think about that, that is certainly something to celebrate about. Amen. Please stand now as we sing together our hymn.